First off, I'm curious as to which nation you are a member of.
Okay, my name is Hazel Hill, and I'm a Mohawk of Six Nations.
Now, we were talking about the two different viewpoints of growth of population.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the differences between, you said the Confederacy sent letters to all the mayors of all the cities and towns and municipalities. Those are the people that make the zoning laws that allow developers like Henco to come in. Now, ironically, I happen to know a family member of mine is very closely, a very close friend of the Douglases that owned all that land, and she says they still own all that land. She has her viewpoint on how long the Douglas family has owned all that land, and when they sold it to Henco, they had a right.
Mm-hmm.
And her conclusion was simply, well, Brant sold off a lot of land 100 years or so ago, and this is why we have a problem. But the stance is still, this is legitimately owned by the Douglas family. It was sold to the developer, Henco. Why did they wait until so many houses were built before they made a stand? And my conclusion was, well, they more than likely said something beforehand before it got to this point, and then they were ignored.
Right. And that's the thing, like, when our people, like, I'm trying to give it to you in an understanding that will, like, the viewers or whatever will be able to understand. Like, the Mohawk Nation was the main nation that settled this deed, this Haldimand deed, and the way the Crown worded it was to the Mohawk Nation and such others of the Six Nations that will, you know, that choose to be there, to live there. And so that's where all the Six Nations came into play. And throughout history, and from my involvement in the last 20 years or so, different chiefs within that Mohawk Nation, different ones, like I said, we've sent correspondence out. We've sent it directly to the Queen through registered mail. We have copies of all those things, reminding her of her responsibility
mm-hmm.
with this land, you know, and with Canada having to take on that responsibility. They agreed to uphold those treaties in the British North America Act. It's in their Constitution Act that they agreed to look after that for the Crown. She sort of transferred that over when they put that Constitution Act in place in the 80s, 1982 or whatever it was at that time. So when you have that kind of a relationship with someone, and it goes back to that two-row wampum that we talk about all the time, we agreed that we would live side by side. We agreed that we'd all travel in our, like us in our canoe and the others in their boat, and that we wouldn't interfere with each other's governments. That interference, when in the 1920s, when the chiefs were asking for an accountability of the funds with all of these land leases, okay, leases,
mm-hmm.
that's when the government at that time put in the RCMP or brought in the RCMP and deposed our traditional council in 1924 at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, never something that was done with the willingness of the people. And that's how the Band Council came into play.
Yeah.
And from the view of the people here, in our communities and in all the other Ongwehoa communities, the Band Council is only an arm of the federal government.
That's right.
They're no longer under that tree of peace. They've stepped to the other side. So they're on the other side of the negotiating table. So when Dave General negotiates with the federal government, he's negotiating with himself.
It's ironic that I'm hearing the same words as I heard 3 years ago on Red Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where I started to hear these terms constantly being referred to as valid in a courtroom, only under certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I've understood from somebody else I spoke to out there in Caledonia, there seems to be some paperwork missing concerning that particular plot of land, and I don't know what that means.
Well, what the Caledonia residents brought out in when they had their protest, you know, which they're entitled to their opinion. We have no problem with that. What they brought out was the 1841 surrender. And in that surrender, they had these 14 chiefs that had signed away this tract of land. In order for anybody to understand our government, you have to understand, first of all, there's 50 chiefs, there's 50 clan mothers.
Right.
And any decision-making that happens, it comes from the people. It's, the chiefs are not, if you will, how some people perceive them as lords. They don't have the ultimate voice. They carry the voice of the people. And that's been a misconception throughout our history, even amongst our own people. They put them, the chiefs, up there, like with the surrender, that 1841 surrender. How can 14 people sign away our land? They can't. the women have the responsibility, and it's in our great law, that wampum number 44 that we talk about. It is in there that the women are responsible for the lands and for and our children and the coming faces. That's why it was given to the women, because as a woman, as a mother, you're tied to the land just as you're tied to your child through that umbilical cord. It's something that never goes away. No matter how old you get, you always maintain that responsibility. And all the women that are coming, you know, the young ones being born, they're going to have that responsibility. So those 1841 surrenders and all the other so-called surrenders, like I said earlier, they're totally illegal. Canada has built their empire on the backs of our people through trickery, lies, and deceit. And now they're being accountable for it. Now the people are saying that we've had enough and we want some real, you know, talks going on. You have to come to the table and talk, not to the band council, but to our people, to our representatives, the one that we choose to set forward to talk through those clan mothers and chiefs from the people. And that's the position of the people. It's like, we understand that there's a lot of confusion. You know, we understand that, you know, that they might have these leases. And I'll tell you something else, too. I used to work at Lands Research probably 25 years ago, right here at Six Nations. And there's a lot of evidence where these land leases originally started out to be 99-year leases, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're 999-year leases. That even in your laws and Canadian laws, that would not be legal. They go by that.
Canada, as whatever we want to call ourselves, pay a bit more attention to the history of the First Nations, because it's a far more beautiful way to live. I've learned that just from my small interactions with the Red Hill situation.
Right.
But, you know, it had to take a standoff for me to get inside enough or interested enough to actually ask questions why. And if, had I not had a need to go and ask the other side of the question, I might not even have known that history.
That's common for anybody. It always takes something like, and it's unfortunate with our people, but that's what it comes down to. Remember Oka.
Yeah.
And like you said, Iprawash. It always takes something like that to get the government's attention. They'll listen to us if we continually sit passively and let the world go on. One thing I want you to understand, too, and what the people need to understand, this isn't just Six Nations Grand River. This affects all the Six Nations people, as far as the Haldimand, but further than that, it affects all Ongwehoe nations of the world. And what we have happening right now, and why I guess I kind of question the media in Canada, and it's not as an insult, but my question is it being, is there like a media blackout happening? Because all over, like I'm getting calls from Washington, we've had contact from Hawaii, we've had contact from California, we've had the Mexican indigenous people are on board. The whole world is watching this. The whole world is watching, and it's Canada that's not responding. We're going to continue to stay there because our position is that land still belongs to us, regardless of what all those surrenders and leases and stuff say, because it wasn't done according to the law. And as far as, like, I know that, like you said, that there's a kind of sort of a positive release being said out there, that negotiations are taking place. And all I can say is what I said earlier, is that those negotiations are happening between the government and the band council. So to us, the traditional people, the true people of the land, the Ongwehoe people, that's a negotiation amongst themselves. They haven't even acknowledged our clan mothers and chiefs at those two meetings that were already held. You know, we put a position to the floor, and it was very simple. You want to resolve this peacefully? Canada, you pay off Hancock because you sold them land that didn't belong to them. And then stop all the development, all up and down the Grand, not just at the Plank Road, all up and down the Grand, and then we'll talk. And this is the thing, like, the voice of the people has to be heard. It's not about council having control. They were put in as administrators. That's their only job.
That would explain when you say 11 out of the 12 band council members would rather see that land negotiation in the hands of the Confederacy.
Yes, because the people will have their voice again.
Okay.
And throughout history, since 1924, when they brought in that band council, the people have not been heard. It's always just the government side.